In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
This is week 3 in The Bachelorette. We were talking before we came on air here that it's like, is it only week 3? Kind of feels like
only
5 or 6.
Especially with this episode, like so much happened that I'm surprised that they didn't make it into 2 episodes. Leads us to the question, like, what else is going to happen?
Perfectly put. There was a lot going on here. And we're a little late this week, very quickly. Mm-hmm. I was in Las Vegas for my birthday and took the red eye back. Watched the episode in the McCarran Airport in Las Vegas.
Dedicated.
Got some looks, not going to lie, which is saying something in Las Vegas. And then I just was going on like 30 hours, no sleep. So I'm like, yeah, we just got to push this. So
no weeks off for the Bachelor Podcast.
No weeks off, but I'm somewhat recovered and I think can put together some sentences. Not always and not a lot, but some sentences.
We'll see how it goes.
Exactly. And someone else, as we kill the segue here, who had some trouble putting together sentences was Carl, who continued to just talk in circles, and we had the dun 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 to be continued from last week with him.
Not great for him. He didn't fully understand what he was saying. Threw out some extremely vague accusations and then just like hoped for the best, like hope something would stick, but nothing stuck. Everyone turned on him, but that's where we left off. And jumping ahead just a little bit, I'm extremely surprised that she actually followed her gut and did not keep him around and sent him home, which I was surprised because it usually goes the other way because, you know, we need that extra quote unquote character for the confrontation and the drama and everything. But yeah, we left off with Carl and Greg checks in with Katie while she's upset and she falls for it. She just loves it. And then she comes to see the guys and says, you know, I can't take it anymore. I'm just canceling, you know, all the rest of the cocktail party and we're just going to go straight to the rose ceremony. And that obviously upset all the other guys because they didn't get their turn to speak with her, but it was the right move for that.
It was really weird because they apparently decided as a group to sort of vote Carl off the island, if you will. But they decide that, okay, Mike P is going to be the one to speak for the group. And the only issue with that is if you're going to have a group announcement – shouldn't it start before she gives out roses? Because what happens if Mike P didn't get a rose?
Right.
Then Carl just gets his rose. Mike goes home, and then on the way out, he's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, we had talked." Like, does he still do the speech? I'm very confused about how the guys rolled that out.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. I thought it was very strange how they just chose Mike, I guess. Like, anyone could have said something, or even before, or maybe he was just supposed to talk to her about it before the rose ceremony, but then the rest of the cocktail party got canceled. So they were like, oh yeah, by the way, it's still you, good luck. Yeah, when she called Mike's name, and he kind of made that like big speech about speaking for all the other guys in the house. Carl isn't here for the right reasons. It's funny because like almost all the men shook their heads. Like, yes, like we agree with what he's saying. Like, this is how we feel too. But usually it's kind of like, if you bring something up to the bachelor or bachelorette, it's like, oh, well, just fend for yourself. Like, it's you're the one who's choosing to do this. But everyone was kind of backing Mike up, and they were like, no, this is true. This is actually how we all feel.
But they waited four roses in. It's incredible that someone didn't raise their hand and say, hey, before we get started, can we just say that we all think Carl sucks and that Carl should leave? And because then the other thing is, okay, let's say Mike, forget Mike. Okay, let's say he was going to get a rose no matter what. But she was planning on giving Carl a rose. What if Carl was like rose number two?
Yeah, it was funny because, not funny, but like Katie took a break after that and, you know, went to Tasia and Caitlin and was like, I don't know what to do. This is what Mike said. Everyone seems to agree with it. I was going to keep Carl tonight, but like basically what should I do? And they were no help.
No, not at all.
Like, I love Tasia and Caitlin so much, but they were just like, well, we'll back you up with your decision. I don't think that's what she wanted to hear. She wanted you, Tasia and Caitlin, to tell her what to do, what she should do. And they were like, oh, we'll back you up.
Which is worse for Katie, the fact that she was going to keep him or that she let the guys make the decision for her, even though I think we'd all agree it was the right decision, to not keep him? I mean, it was sort of a lose-lose for her because she's telling everyone, hey, by the way, this guy pulled the wool over my eyes and I fell for it because I was going to keep him versus, well, never mind, all the guys made the decision for me, which is worse. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it would look really bad if after all that she kept Carl. Obviously she made the correct decision here, but I mean, it would look really bad if after all that, after basically the whole house said, no, not this guy, he's bad, to end up keeping him.
It would, but it wouldn't that be sticking with her gut to keep him if she was going to keep him anyways?
Yeah, no, that's true. I'm curious of who she was going to let go.
And, I mean, if you go by the order, Aaron was the last one that got a rose.
Yeah.
I don't know if that order can change.
Yeah. That would have been interesting if like the one you were going to get rid of like ends up at the end.
There was so much going on there because I couldn't see any scenario where he would stay. It was just a matter of, does she kick him off before the rose ceremony or during? But then it just blew my mind to hear her say like, oh, I was going to keep Carl. I'm like, what are you? Are you drunk? What is happening? Did you confuse him with someone else? I mean, there's no reason. You got this dude shadow boxing in the other room.
Yeah.
It was so, so confusing how she could possibly be thinking of keeping him even before the guys were like, oh, remember this crazy dude over here? Yeah, we all think he should go.
Yeah. And I think it obviously speaks volumes when he just walked out and had no one to say goodbye to, didn't even say bye to Katie. Obviously that could be editing, but it looked like he literally just walked out. So
yeah.
I based on that alone, she made the right decision.
Totally did. Oh, and that's the other thing. I agree 100%. She made the right decision. And the fact that he didn't have guys to say goodbye to doesn't upset me as much, because while you want to be friendly and just be a human being, mm-hmm. you know, you're not there to make friends ultimately. But if the person who you're quote unquote dating, you don't even have the decency to say goodbye to, like, that's pretty crappy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I not think probably look. Tells us all we need to know about him.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. We probably already had all we needed to know about him, but that's.
Oh yeah, we definitely did. But this just solidified it.
Yeah. If there were any Carl defenders out there, I think you see that and you're like, yeah, never mind. I think we'll move on from this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sort of overshadowed anybody else that went home, because they showed Carl and then it was sort of it. I mean, dude, so who else did we even lose? We lost,
and only because I looked it up, because again, I could have sworn that these people weren't even there. But John, Kyle, and Garrett.
Oh, wow. There are that many. And we didn't see any of their goodbyes.
Yeah. I did remember John, just because the way he looked, like, I felt like he was the one that had that baby face. Mm. But if you said Kyle and Garrett right now, I can't see any face.
You're making those names up, aren't you?
Yep, exactly. never seen those people before in my life.
But we get to finally move on from Carl. He is, at least I hope, gone for good. The men even applauded afterwards, so I don't even think it mattered who else went home. It was just, as long as Carl's gone, we'll give you a standing O. Right, and then we move on and we get an old friend alert.
Yes.
The one and only, what, four time appearance?
Include Paradise. Yeah,
that's Nick Bial there to help Katie out on a group date, which she did not sign the card with love or heart, Katie. So you knew it was serious.
For being the third week and not seeing a love, Katie, like, those guys were like, oh my God, there's no heart. Like,
they're sending us all home. What's happening?
Like, I honestly don't even think that I would notice that there wasn't a heart or love, Katie, or a Katie at the end. I would have just been like, okay, another group date.
Yeah, exactly. And they get brought into this super weird, like, interrogation room, basically. And, you know,
I mean, the setting was ideal for what was happening. it was a great stage.
Yeah, and we understand they're limited in what they can do. But I guess if you want to, you know, basically make these guys feel like they're going to be interrogated, but sort of a group interrogation. Cause it's this, mm-hmm. it was this weird in between where it's almost like Nick is trying to say, like, honesty is important. And you referenced some things that clearly we were supposed to connect to these guys to, and for the viewer. And then on top of that is supposed to, I think, get them in their mind, like, oh, I better be truthful. But at the same time, then it was almost supposed to be like, we're coming together and being vulnerable together. So it was somewhere in between of like, you better tell the truth, to like, let's all be one and open up our minds together. Yeah. It was this. So I didn't know whether I should be scared for these guys or just,
I don't think they knew either. I think they were kind of just as confused as we were at the beginning of that. But I mean, most of them, you know, bared their souls and went in and told their deepest, darkest relationship confessions, I guess. But on the date, we had Aaron, Courtney, James, Connor B, David, Justin, Thomas, Hunter, and Brendan.
Whew.
Which, again, like, who's Brendan? I'm not really sure, but. Hunter went first. I think, again, it could have been editing, but I think it was a good one to go first. You know, he got emotional saying that he had his first marriage basically failed because he focused too much on work and not enough on his wife and kids and two kids. And he knows now that if marriage happens again, he knows what not to do, basically. But he was really emotional about it, and he confessed how he messed up and how he's going to move forward and grow from that.
Yeah, and it definitely set the tone, because something like this, if you lead it off with, this one time I got in an argument with my girlfriend and I called her a name, like,
yeah,
don't think that's exactly what we're going for here.
What are we actually talking about?
Yeah, and so it needed to be something big, and for someone to say, you know, basically that they, you know, not all, because, you know, obviously a lot of people get divorced, but for him specifically mm-hmm. to own it and it being, you know, I'm the reason why it failed. It wasn't,
it's,
you know,
totally my fault.
Yeah, we just drifted apart or anything. It's like, no, like this was on me.
This is my fault. I knew it was my fault, and this is how I'm growing from it.
Right. And I think that was an important tone setter, because as we've seen, not just in this show, but just in life, everybody likes to pass the buck. So this was very clear that, like, no, guys, like, whatever you want to call it, a skeleton or whatever, like, you're going to need to own this. This is not going to be a, well, yeah, but situation, which I think we all know is the worst way you can explain something away. Like, oh, yeah, but, like, no. We're here to talk about what you did wrong and what you've learned from it. And I think almost everybody in the group got it, except Thomas, who we immediately have now found our new villain. Like, Carl was gone
for
12 seconds, and we've already picked up who the next person ever.
Honestly, got. Like, Carl's issue was nothing, I think, compared to Thomas. Like, I'd rather keep Carl in that thing.
But this is another case of, how does Katie not hear him say what he says, which is more or less, I mean, I guess you don't want to penalize him for doing what you want. Like, you want him to tell the truth, and him being like, yeah, I just came on this show for my platform. Like, yeah, like, that's it. So
I guess
I guess you appreciate the honesty. Maybe.
I feel like, but your biggest red flag is what he just admitted to you.
Exactly.
So, like, what? I don't know why you still want to keep that around.
Yeah. Basically. I mean, he's smiling the whole time, making it seem like he's almost like putting on a show. Hey. Yeah. And so I think
someone called it like a campaign.
I didn't know who you were, and so I was just here for my Twitter followers, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, thanks so much for sharing. And really? I do get caught up in between, because he was being honest, but just because someone's being honest doesn't mean you have to like what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, but once I met you, like, the feelings that I have are real. And oh, and by the way, there's people who I've let on, and I went on a date a week before I came on the show, and I wanted to gain followers from it, but I have real feelings for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically reading, like, the Jed story out loud, and instead of saying, like, you know, I think we've been down this road before and know that this is something we should pass on.
Thanks so much for
being honest.
Red flag right in front of you.
Oh, and everyone else to a person is telling this, like, deep, you know, again, maybe not secret, but like this story that's important
confession
to them, and what brought them there, and sort of what's given them perspective. And he's just instead like, I'm here for my platform. Ha ha.
Yeah. But the other thing, like, do you literally have no, there's gotta be some deep, dark something with you.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just going on a date before this show.
Yeah. You know, the worst thing that he's done is not like, I wanted to get Instagram followers.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you've ever done.
Pretty sure there's something else you could have shared.
literally everyone here, even if they are open to a relationship, is there to increase their Instagram followers. So, I mean, I don't know that that really qualifies as like some deep, dark secret of yours.
Yeah, that's just like a known fact, like underlying fact that you're supposed to know.
Yeah. And even someone like Connor, who, you know, has got to be seen as one of the favorites, you know, from the pause to
if
whatever.
You're into cats.
If you're into cats, and she is, you know, even he was opened his story by saying, like, listen, I'm not the good guy in this story. And, you know, when you lead with that and make it very clear, like, I was a bad dude. And
yeah,
I'm not that person anymore, but I was. I think that the contrast, and again, editing, whatever, but it's the perfect person to put next to him, because
yes,
from shucking and jiving, hey, hey, I'm super slick, to, yeah, like,
I'm actually horrible in the story, so like, so here it goes.
Yeah, and like, I did this terrible thing, and since then, this is how I'm working on it. And it goes back, I think, even all the way back to the last season when people kept questioning Rachel and were like, well, how are you getting better? And she didn't have an answer. Connor had the answer.
Yep.
You know, he said, I read self-help books and I got therapy and I went through all of these and actually detailed the steps of how he got to be the person that he wanted to be. And yep. It was just such a huge contrast from the slick Thomas who had nothing to say to Connor, who not only said what he did, but how he's gone through it, how he continues to work through it. And it was like, how Thomas didn't just like immediately be like, I think the car is pulling up for you. If you want the third door over there, I think you'll be good.
Yeah. And then I don't think they didn't really give anyone else too much camera time. Cause they did want to make room for, you know, Katie's side of being vulnerable and her story. And she shared a sexual assault story that, she was involved with and there was no consent. And she was just in denial about the whole situation and even tried, you know, forming a relationship with this person. So I'm glad that the show is let her talk about this, because it's, you know, it's a big issue that's not usually shared on, especially on this kind of platform. But it's crazy that, like, I mean, not crazy, but that she hasn't told anyone really the story. Like she said, even her mom didn't know. So I'm sure after this started filming, I'm sure she went home and had the conversation with her mom. But I'm glad that the Bachelorette kept this scene in and you know, shone light into this, because I don't think it's exactly something that they'd give so much time to in the past. Or let anyone share this at all, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's new for the show. And I thought they handled it as well as they could, you know, giving the rain info, going into commercial and, you know, gave her all the time she needed to, or at least on the editing side, you know, they didn't chop it up and just make it this quick, slick thing. Like they let her tell the whole story and, you know, make it very clear that she thought it was her fault and something that she did. And much like Connor, like, you know, did the right work and saw like, no. At no point is this something that you're, you know, quote unquote guilty of. Like you did nothing wrong. And so I think that's important for a lot of people out there, or even if it's just one person, it's important. But you know, unfortunately, we know it's a lot of people. And, you know, she got to that point where she realized like, yeah, this wasn't my fault. I did nothing wrong. And a lot of people never get there. And, we know a lot of those people, and we've unfortunately a lot of people have had to have those conversations to try to convince people. So I think someone like this on, you know, this platform in front of millions of people, not just, you know, being vulnerable to a point of that she hasn't with her own family, but in front of millions of people to do something like this, I think is ultimately going to help a lot of people. And it's not something we see from either franchise very often.
Yeah. And I think it's good that she was able to share this because she does come off so sex positive and all about it, but she literally said, I haven't always been like that. Like, it took work to get here, and here's my story, and this is how, you know, how I got here, how I got to feel this way about that.
Yeah. So listen, I certainly commend her for telling that. And I want to, you know, we obviously want to commend the show for giving her the ability to tell the story. And like I said, not chopping it up, because they've done some pretty crappy things over the years. So I could have seen them, you know, handling it not quite as well as they did. You know, and so she has this incredibly personal, deep moment. I don't know that we needed the full group hug to finish it out, but you know, then we move right to the cocktail party for this date, and there's this moment that she had, and then she goes to this, and she wants to ask Thomas, yeah, so you said there were a bunch of red flags, and I want you to tell me about those. And
fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All he did was talk in circles again and said absolutely nothing.
And she called him out on it too. She was like, I'm asking you to tell me the red flags and you're just skirting around this. Like, give me answers. I'm asking you. You're telling me there's red flags. Like, it's not me saying I see red flags. You're telling me you have red flags and you're not answering these questions. Like, I want to know. And then he's basically like, where do you want to live? We can get married and like, we can live anywhere. And
that wasn't what I was asking.
Yeah. And then she's like, all right, to be determined. Bye.
And so he
but he noticed immediately that like he messed up and he kind of ruined that time with her. So obviously he has to interrupt the next guy, who's Aaron.
But he still didn't accomplish anything, because I actually thought, okay, he realized he screwed up, and even if he's there and it's fake and everything else, like, okay, it's, he had enough time to process it, and he thought of a good thing to actually, like, I'll name a couple red flags that aren't too bad and I'll still be able to stay around.
Yeah.
But instead he does none of that.
He goes for the falling in love line.
I mean, I just needed to tell her how special she was. Like, again, did not address.
And then turns around and tells all the guys, oh, this is what I just said. I'm said I'm falling in love. Like, haha, you didn't. And that just, that doesn't go over as well at all.
Yeah. And to go back to the beginning of the episode when, you know, which is worse, the fact that she was going to keep Carl or that she was talked into getting rid of him, which is worse, the fact that she didn't immediately get rid of Thomas, or that when he came back for take two, she
still didn't say anything.
he still didn't say anything, and she seemed to fall for it and say, like, oh, yeah, there's such a spark, and I'm so happy you're here, and, like, let's make out.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if I were in that situation and I asked someone what the red flags were that they mentioned and they didn't answer, I'd be like, okay, I think you need to leave.
Well, because it's the exact same thing with Carl, is he says something and she says, okay, well, give me, or in this case, most of the guys, but like, okay, give me a specific thing that mm-hmm. you're talking about. And if that person can't give a one specific thing, then they're lying pretty simply.
Yep.
It's, or have nothing to say. I mean, I'm sure he has plenty of red flags. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he has plenty of red flags. We're talking about them now, but like, you can't come up with one quote unquote red flag, which clearly you would have made up anyways. I mean, that's not great.
Yeah, not great. And
this ends up setting off bomb number two. You know, Carl was the first one. We're thinking, oh, the drama's gone. And now everybody's just like, oh, yeah, Thomas has got to go. This is, like, this guy's psychopath, basically. And it just, I don't think it's going to be beneficial to the guys if they think, you know, and I joked before about voting him off the island, if they mm-hmm. think they're the ones now, as a unit, we're going to decide who stays and who goes. Like, that's not how this show works.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, she's been very open about wanting to know information, but wanting to know information is not the same thing as, okay, you guys can pick who stays and goes.
Right, exactly. Like, it has to be her doing. She can't be influenced so much. She should be able to see this straight out, basically.
Right. Well, and you would hope so, but the fact that she, you know, didn't just get rid of Thomas sight and seen at that point, like, and I guess it wouldn't be unseen because she should have seen plenty, but it just, I don't know how you have any of these conversations and aren't like, yeah, this dude's pretty sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something not right about this
one. Yeah. Now, thankfully, he didn't get the group date rose, because I think the only person that would have been upset more than the guys on the date would have been me, because it's just, don't fall for the shtick, you know? And
yeah,
even
like
though she did a little,
just not see what was happening.
Right. And even though she did a little, at least she didn't go all the way. And instead, yeah. Connor, which I'm fine with, like, at least he did everything you asked him to do. Like,
yeah,
fine.
He had a good day. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he told you what he basically played. I don't want to say played the game, but I guess I want to say played the game. Like, he did everything you're supposed to do. He was honest.
Right.
He
everything
was vulnerable.
Asked.
Yes. Everything asked. And
yep.
It doesn't mean, just because he didn't get the rose, doesn't mean Thomas isn't still, like, a number one. Because the whole rest of the episode, anytime, basically, there's multiple guys in the same place. And even one-on-one in some cases, everyone is just telling Thomas, like, yeah, you're the worst, and we don't like you.
Exactly. I do have one thing I learned about this date that came out, there was an article about it. So Nick Vial came out and said that he learned that. So we all know Blake's coming onto the season.
Yes.
At some point. He said that Blake was on location already during this date. And they had, Katie and Blake had already spoken at this point. And it was filmed when they spoke, but they didn't use it to make room for Katie's sexual assault story, Thomas's drama, and everything else. They didn't want, basically they didn't want to throw too much into one episode.
Sorry,
I think is what he was trying to say. And apparently they DM'd before the show.
Oh.
So, yeah. That was a story.
Interesting. So when he does show up next week, is that going to be the originally shot footage or do they reshoot it?
I don't know. But when they spoke the first time, it was filmed, Nick said.
Hmm.
So interesting. Because, I mean, a lot of for any of these shows, you never know the exact timeline of things, which is
sure.
kind of hard. And sometimes they even mess up timelines. Like, you can tell by what people are wearing. One of Tasia's dates, like, it was shot out of order or whatever. You don't know fully the timelines of each of all these things happening with these shows, which kind of throw things off. That's what Nick said, so.
Interesting. See, because, I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, I don't think there's any need for Blake to be on this season. Obviously, he can prove us
unless
wrong
or they
prove me
before
wrong.
And one of them said, I want, either Katie was like, I want him to be on this season, or he was like, he pulled a more successful Heather and said, I want to be here.
I mean, they could, and there's the same thing. So, like, Heather, because they had mutual friends, like, Heather could have just asked him out on a date. And in this case, like, Blake could have just asked her out on a date.
Yeah.
You don't need to infiltrate her season of The Bachelorette to do it.
Yeah. I mean, from going to Claire, Tasia, to Katie, like, in 6 months, like, that's a lot. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean.
Yeah. Listen, Blake has a type. You know what it is? The woman who's on TV. That's his type.
Yeah. Exactly. I was just going to say a woman. But
yeah. Female with pulse.
Yeah, woman. Female on TV.
And
that's a lead.
Oh, jeez. So, and we all understand how this works. Like, everybody that comes on this show wants to be on TV to some extent. So, fine. But at some point, you have to look at someone.
You don't
like
come
Blake.
On here just to date.
Right. And when you're someone like Blake, like, at this point, you're going to give him how many different women is he going to date within the Bachelorette world before we say, like, okay,
exactly. If it doesn't work out with Katie, like, we definitely have not seen the end of him.
Like, go to paradise, fine, or, you know, God forbid, ask somebody out off camera, but, like,
oh God, no.
You don't have to keep coming on this franchise, please. Yeah. Like, we're done with you.
You were never an actual main character.
Oh, geez. And so there are two final storylines to this week. And one is the Aaron versus Thomas, because obviously nobody likes Thomas, but the person that dislikes Thomas the most is Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
And basically saying, like, you know, even your own mother doesn't like you, more or less, which...
Yeah.
I mean, that's always the A number one. I mean, if you want to think of the worst possible thing you could say to someone is, oh, your mama doesn't even like you.
Yeah. Oh, shots fired.
And it appears that either Aaron or Hunter are sort of going to be the ones that lead this, pitchfork voting off the island to Katie eventually, of like, we don't think he should be here. And
yeah, I think Hunter's just such a random person to all of a sudden just like stand his ground. Like, I don't know, I feel like Aaron, I think he's been very outspoken. I mean, I guess only all three episodes, But I felt like when Hunter was getting so involved with it, I was just like, wow, you're just such a random person to get into this so deeply.
Yeah. And it eventually does come out that, yes, Thomas thought about being the next Bachelor and goes back to his original, like, campaign, if you will, is, I guess you appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
I guess.
At least, like, I mean, I guess at least he's, yeah, brave enough to say it out loud. Like,
eventually.
Obviously everyone thinks it. Like, if you don't make it to the end, there is a chance that if you became a fan favorite, that you are going to be, you know, at least considered for the Bachelor. But he's like, yeah, I considered it. Like,
it took him a while to get there, but he got there.
Oh, that's what I still want, without saying. That's what I still want.
Right. And he kept dancing around it, much like the red flag question of,
yeah,
you know, tell me your red flags, was very similar to, like, is being the Bachelor on the top of your mind? And he eventually got there, but it took him a minute.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, whatever. It crossed my mind.
And so, well, ultimately with that sort of everybody against Thomas created is, and we'll get to the one-on-one in a minute, but there was going to be another group date, which we were told nothing about. And that's how we knew the episode was going to end. Cause she's like, oh, I'm excited for this group date. I'm like, what group date? I don't.
Yeah.
Was there.
Well, he's like, I'm excited for this group date. And then, like, I pressed the button and it said like 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. And I was like, I don't think a date could be that fast.
Yeah. I don't think that's in our future. So, sometime before this group date next week, I assume, is going to be again, everybody telling Katie, yeah, we think this guy should go. And hopefully as bad as he is and as creepy as he is, at some point she has to say, yes, I want to be informed, but no, this isn't your decision. And you guys need to stop voting as a house
telling me all these things
for who to leave. And the reason I went a little out of order there is because, I wanted to end on a positive note, which I think is a mostly positive note.
Don't overshadow Michael like that.
Exactly. And I think Michael needed sort of his own, like, third chapter of this podcast here, or the third act, because before he told the story of everything that happened with his wife, you know, we just knew that he had a kid. We didn't know the story. Yeah. And I do think it was interesting that he told the guys before he told Katie, but I mean, maybe that's
especially
helpful.
Since he was like, I just need time with her to, you know, share this story. And then he's like, well, let me just tell you guys, like, while we're here.
You do get to workshop it, I guess, a little bit. See, you know.
Exactly.
Especially if he doesn't tell.
All he needs to say and everything.
If he doesn't tell a lot of people, and, you know, I can imagine it's got to be very, you get a lot of, you know, very anxious when you are going to finally tell someone this. So he at least could work it out with the guys a little bit. And this is a very bromancy type house with the few exceptions. But it was still pretty cool to see the guys that he was sharing with have a, you know, really what seemed like genuine, and I guess you wouldn't have a heart if you didn't have it, but really genuine reaction to
just like let him cry and just like the little pats on the shoulders, and you know, it was just like you could tell that he felt comfortable telling those guys. I think it was Mike and I don't know who the other person was.
They might have just been producers or people they pulled off the street.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't remember. I knew it was Mike with him, but I couldn't remember the second guy. He basically fell in love with this girl from school who became his wife. They had they had a child, and almost right after that, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, started to become an advocate for it, and then it progressed too quickly, I guess, is what happened. And she passed away, and that it was the only woman that he said that he loved, that he said, I love you too. And it was just how big of a deal it is for him to actually be here.
Yeah, because, you know, even the beginning of their date, Katie mentions, like, oh, I know how big of a deal it is for you, because to be away from your son, and she doesn't really know at all at that
point. Yeah, that's really just the tip of of the iceberg here.
And, you know, I thought that was sort of going to be the moment to tell her, and he did mention how, listen, I know that
you should know that this is a dinner conversation. It's not a middle of the desert conversation. It's a dinner one.
So, you know, no, not an ATV convo. Has to be.
You should know by now. Come on.
This needs to be at a dinner table. And, you know, he did make it very clear to her, probably to get to the dinner portion, that, listen, I'm here for an engagement. And he did have the great line of, like, this doesn't end in an engagement, it begins in an engagement. And that clearly, like, you want to talk about revving a motor. I mean, she was like,
oh yeah, she
those
loved
were the
it.
Best words I've ever heard in my life. Oh my God, what is happening? Or abso-effing-lutely, I guess would be the actual quote.
Yes, that was the direct quote.
But he did wait until the dinner to tell her the story. And unlike with Thomas or Carl, or I guess those are the only two in these early 3 weeks, she handled it perfectly. And you know, not just in the, you know, oh, I'm listening sort of way, is she was very clear, like, in no way would I ever, there would never be any sort of resentment for that relationship. Like, I understand what that is and respect it. And, like, was very clear the fact that nothing will ever take away from that.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, you know, that's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing to tackle.
Yeah. Well, especially like he said that they were together for 16 years. Like, that's he is 36, but still, like, that's your whole dating life, basically. Yeah. Which makes sense that she was the only one he said, I love you too. And she only passed away in 2019. So, you know, I guess some people would say that kind of a short amount of time, but at the same time, like, why not try to, you know, start the next phase of your life? You can't stay in the same, you know, path your whole life if you think out there you're gonna find love again, and that's what he said.
Yeah, and it's clearly still fresh, and it's never not going to be one of the most important things in his life. But at the same time, not only do people deserve to move on, but I think people deserve to be given the ability to make their own decisions about their life. And you know, listen, we're on here talking about a reality show, you know, making fun of people generally, so we get it. Like, that's what people do. But, like, everyone's going to move at a different speed. So if you think 2.5 years is too soon, or I guess 2 years with when they were filming it, then that's fine. And that's probably just, that's fine. But for him, that's he's had enough time to process it and realize that it's okay to try to move on. And, like he said, have the gift to fall in love twice. But
I mean,
for some
especially with, you know, losing your wife and then essentially going right into kind of a pandemic, like, I'm sure it made him think about things in a different light.
Yeah, I'm sure his perspective has changed about 12 times, in these 2 years. But listen, I thought, obviously he gets the rose. I mean, geez, I can't even fathom.
That'd be pretty bad.
I guess we should mention that. But I mean, can you even imagine what we'd be talking about right now? It's like, oh, yeah, by the way.
Thanks for sharing your entire life story, but it's not going to work out.
Hey, remember that time you poured your heart out on national TV and then I said, yeah, you're going to need to, can I walk you out?
Even if you don't like him a little bit, like you need to give him the
vote. Can I walk you out? Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. Were you here for this conversation?
You're still crying for my conversation and you're already kicking me out.
My wife is going to haunt your dreams. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I thought, he handled it as well as he could of trying to explain this immense.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. He definitely, he basically was on the bottom of my list just because I didn't know him. But he's pretty high up there. Right.
And we were going to get another group date apparently, but that'll have to wait till next week when you have the Thomas drama is going to blow up, I assume, right at the beginning. And generally being around him wanting to be the Bachelor, although I don't know, all the guys remaining, do you have them take an oath that they will not accept being the next Bachelor? I mean, I don't know how you get away from that as being a possibility. Like, if you're on the show, it's possible.
You kind of just have to know that it's obviously in everyone's head just because that's literally how it's chosen.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just have to hope that that's not the only reason why they're here.
Yeah. So we'll see that come to a head. And then someone from Tayshia's past and other people's past. It's Blake.
And Claire.
Yes, Claire, thank you. Sometimes I have trouble coming up with her name. But so someone from Bachelorette times two's past, Blake, is going to visit the show. And God, I mean, I don't have a need for more Blake in my life, but maybe he'll surprise us all.
Maybe.
And it'll be great.
It doesn't look like it's a Heather situation, though. It does look like he stays.
This is where they should have brought Heather in. It should have been in the first couple episodes. Like, you can see why, hey, maybe bringing someone in when they're about to go to hometowns isn't a great idea. Like, at least we still don't know half the guys' names. Like, that's fine. Yeah. If you're going to bring someone in, bring them in early.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Agree.
So we'll see Blake next week, and hopefully the end of Thomas. Fingers crossed.
Doubt it, but yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, the producers have to have their say, right? I mean, they haven't had a producer pick yet, and we're three whole weeks into this thing. Although, what, 1.5 rose ceremonies? So
yeah,
a lot of work to do. A lot of work.
Already
to be done.
A few too many to be continued for.
Can we for just
three
end an episode on a rose ceremony?
Yeah.
Please, just once.
Yeah. Shocking.
Well, listen, no one breaks it down like you, Katie. Thank you so much, as always, for your impeccable knowledge of the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchises.
Thank you.
You can find us at Bachelor Podcast on all socials, and we will be back next week talking about Blake.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.